Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Dave Feshchuk of the Stars in here. Noodles in Ottawa calling a game. Leafs Sens tonight on TSN 4 in the Leafs region, TSN 5 in the Sens region. So we got you covered tonight on TSN. And I'm looking forward to seeing a packed barn in a different building, right? It was all the fans were available last night throughout the league. And the same thing a couple of nights ago in Tampa and in Vegas. And it will continue tonight. And hopefully we never have to go back there again. You know, we never have to, like, the bubble experience, I think, is behind us until the next pandemic, knock on wood, doesn't happen anytime soon, if ever. But if I'm being a realist, it probably will. I think we know that. But the bubble experience, I think we can put a bow on it. Right? Wow. Like, it's over. The bubble experience is over, right? Are you willing to concede that or what, Dave?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, it's over in stadiums. I think that I got some friends that run sports bars down by the arena that are waiting for the shackles to come off them, right? Because right now it's weird. Cause you
we were
go
talking
in,
about that yesterday, yeah, Dave. How can you put 18,000 people in a building and all have beers and have fun, but there's seven people in a big restaurant?
Yeah.
If I was the owner of a restaurant, I'd be pissed, too.
Well, they're very disturbed by this.
Obviously. Yeah. They should be.
And they're also poorer because of this. Like, these people are hurting. You know? Yes. These guys are... You know, normally we're not crying for those guys because they're making money hand over fist when the Leafs and Raptors are in session. But right, you know, it's been a tough couple of years or a tough 18 months anyways, and can't come soon enough that this common sense solution's got to roll around here.
Yeah, well, I mean, industry, I was talking with someone yesterday about that, where these massive buildings, like massive business buildings downtown that – you have all these companies that are like, ah, forget it, we're never going back.
What are they going to do with the buildings?
Well, what are you going to do with the buildings? Yeah. Every building downtown, for the most part, you've got a dry cleaner in the basement. Yep. What are they going to do? You got a coffee shop down there.
Tons
you got
of restaurants.
Restaurants down. Like, at some point, man, we got to think about all of that big picture, you know? And I don't think you can expect that from an individual business if they feel like this is in the best interest of their own business. You can't mandate that people show up at the buildings, you know, or show up back in the studio or cubicle or whatever it's going to be. But there's a ripple effect with everything, right? And I think we're noticing that now as we get out more and we get downtown more. It doesn't look the same.
No.
Doesn't feel the same. But I think it will come to life again. And having the Leafs going, the Raptors are going as of next Wednesday, and you got BMO Field cooking. The Jays will be back in the spring, and there won't be any restrictions, I can't imagine, by that point, when the Jays are back in town and playing 81 home games, and I would think the shackles would be off, full house for that, I think we're going to get back to normal pretty quickly here. But, you know, the bubble experience, you talk about books being written, there will be many books written on that, and documentaries, you know, and hours of content of what it was like in the bubble, outside the bubble, the whole experience. Because last night, I think, marked, from a Leaf perspective anyway, it's over. They're not doing that anymore. And they're not going to be in an empty building again this year.
I found it crazy to, like, how shocked I was. Maybe not shocked is the right word, but to see all of the fans in the stands.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, that is so great to see.
Yeah.
I don't know what is the word that I could use to describe seeing it as it being so different from that stupid tarp I've seen for 2 years.
Yeah.
I think just excitement and love for the fans, just to see the people all through the lower bowl. It was just—it was so nice to see.
Yeah, and that, like, when Nylander scored, the reaction behind the net, you know, and him diving into the boards and the fans right behind him again. Little stuff, little details that we all took for granted. I took for granted for 37 years, you know, 36 and a half years, and I'd like to say I won't ever take them for granted again. I will, you know, in 5 years I will again, like. It's not like it's a classic example. I'm never going to ever. Nah, yes, you will. You know, in 3 years, if we're right back to normal again, you'll go on with your life and things are going to you're not even going to think about those nuances and the details. But they were so in our face last night. They were in our face when the Jays came home. They'll be in our face when the Raptors play their first regular season home game with a packed building.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it was great to see.
The interesting thing last night, guys, was it was a Leaf home opener. And there were plenty of seats available. Like, I talked to quite a few people who were sitting there, and there were lots of seats that were empty. If you went online, there were plenty of seats you could buy, some at pretty good prices. You saw some lower bowl stuff selling way, way below face value. And somebody was saying to me that one of the reasons, there's a lot of reasons why that could be. I mean, partly because you didn't know there was going to be full capacity until just a few days before the game. But, you know, speaking of your point about those empty office buildings, like if the people aren't in the bank towers and the accounting towers in their suits, you know, leaving work and then getting their clients and going having a beer and going down to the arena with the corporate tickets, you know, that could cut into the Leafs bottom line a little bit.
That's a good point.
You know, because they've been a corporate-based team. We all know that. It's the Bay Street suit team. And, you know, if the Bay Street suits aren't on Bay Street, they're on Zoom, wherever they may be, in their palatial estates in Muskoka and Forest Hill and Rosedale. Yeah, I wonder what that's going to do to the – maybe it'll be for the better. Less corporate suits down there. Who knows?
Yeah, it's like a whole – like an ecosystem thing. Like you've taken the wolves out of Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And it's like it's going to change everything. You know, like what happens here if – that was a pretty good grab, a pretty good analogy, I
think.
I like
that.
We are taking the wolves out of Yellowstone.
Yep, and man, did it have a massive effect on things. That's why they reintroduced the wolves into Yellowstone, because they realized the ecosystem needs it. Maybe that'll be the case. Who
David
knows?
David Suzuki here.
And Suzuki, I'm on top of things.
Kevin Costner went into Yellowstone.
That's right, man.
My
very
guy.
Very quality show, I should point out. All right, we have a former Leaf. We've got our main man from First Up every morning right here on TSN Radio, Carlo Colaiacovo, who was talking about the game this morning and obviously witnessing it last night. And your reaction to, I guess, the end of the bubble era with the Leafs and seeing the fans in the stands last night?
Well, first of all, I think I have the reason why the building wasn't packed is because most people in Toronto don't have a guy.
I mean, that's right. You guys need your guy.
Like, I'm the guy when you want to get a hold of something.
Yes, that's right. You're the guy.
Bang!
You're the guy.
Dude, it was so funny you guys were having this conversation yesterday because I was golfing with a bunch of buddies yesterday.
Let me guess, a guy, one of your guys texted you.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel from Pulp Fiction called you.
I was golfing with a bunch of guys that were negotiating selling tickets for Leaf games yesterday. So it's crazy. But, you talk about fans at the building. I think last night, not just looking at the Leaf game, but watching that Canada game at BMO Field really gave me, at least, a great appreciation of sports again and in this city in particular, because we've been lost without it for so long. The atmospheres in both places, like you talk about the Scotiabank Arena, the introduction, the fans singing the national anthem, it brought chills to my arms. And then you're watching, lucky for me, I got the two TV set up right now, and you know the Canada game is on the other TV, and Alphonso Davies scores, and I live in Oakville, and I could hear crowd at BMO Field, and it's an absolutely unbelievable, like, that's the way sports should be. And it's unfortunate what we went through in the last 18 months, but having fans back in the buildings is what makes the moments that much more special.
Coco, we both played for the Leafs. We loved the blue and white. We loved our time in Toronto. Do you think the atmosphere, because we were talking about the first period, and Hayes and I were talking about how sometimes in the press box you can hear a conversation going below, like, do you think it could ever be different? And I know the people pay their money. They deserve to do what they want. But do you think it could ever be different where I'm not talking about it morphing into Vegas or the atmosphere there, but do you think it could ever be different and how that could happen?
I find it really hard to believe in this market that it could ever be different. I mean, especially when you're talking about, you know, the ticket prices and the people that go and sit in those seats. It's a casual night for them, and I don't think they're too worried about making too much noise, and that's just what the Scotiabank Arena is. That's just what, you know, the people that buy tickets for the Toronto Maple Leafs do. They make it a casual night, and you know, I was lucky enough to play in Europe, and I'm telling you right now, like, the best atmospheres to play in a hockey rink, because they were soccer-style crowds where they didn't care about talking or socializing in the game. It was there. They were going there to drink. They were going there to have a good time. They're going there to look stupid. And they're going there to be loud. And at the ACC, I mean, I know they're trying different things with different musics and different commercial things that they're doing in the crowd, but it's really hard to imagine anything they can do unless you replace the people that are in the seats with people that actually want to go there and cheer. And it's hard to believe that can actually happen in this market.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. I think obviously a winning team will help And I think once you get to the more intense moments of the game, there's electricity in there deeper in the season, certainly in the playoffs. And, you know, the Leafs started the way they started last night. Everyone saw it the same way. It was an awful start. It was a flat start. But they stabilized. Jack Campbell played a big role in that. And as of now, you got a tandem here with Campbell and Mrazek. And Mrazek will go tonight. And they gave him a good contract, 3 years at 3.8. They're paying Mrazek to be a guy that's going to give him like 30, 35 games. I think that is what they're banking on, or the insurance policy is written in. But I think it'd be more ideal if Jack Campbell can solidify like true number one status. I'd prefer a true number one over a tandem. And I'm not saying that because of the one start last night. He did it last year. I thought he performed well in the playoffs.
At his age, Hazy, he's going to have to grind for the rest of his career to continually prove that he is a number one, because people are always going to fall back on the idea that you were that guy that was the backup the whole time.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you are what you, like the Danny Green line, man. You are what we thought you were. And
well,
it's like he's going to have to battle that his whole career.
That's fine. But listen, if he keeps playing the way he's played the last 8 or 9 months, then I think in this market with this team, he has the opportunity to be labeled the number one as opposed to 1A and 1B. And I think that'd be more ideal in terms of just quieting this market down and quieting any goalie controversy.
Dude, if he plays like that, there nobody has anything to say, Carlo.
Exactly. Yeah. But look how well he played last year, too. It's not like he was a dog last year. He was a beast for this team last year.
He couldn't stay healthy, Hayes.
In the past, he couldn't.
Right. Last year, he
and
he
even
got
early
hurt three
in
times
last
last
season,
year.
Early last season, he did. Once he got going and got cooking, he was there. And in the playoffs, it was never a question. So I think it's the injuries more than anything else that could be what's holding him back from that status. But if he stays healthy and plays consistent, I think he could hold that label halfway through the season.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, clearly this is a group that loves having him around. You know, I can't believe, I mean, you touched on it last year, how much praise he gets as a goaltender for being a guy that is so beloved in the locker room. And that's a good thing. I think the best thing in this scenario for the Maple Leafs is that there's internal competition. So each guy is always looking over his shoulder and basically saying to themselves, I got to be at my best, or there's a guy pushing for my job. And when's the last time we were able to say that about a Maple Leafs team? I mean, Freddie Anderson's always been the guy, and he's always been, you know, been able to be comfortable in his role because there's been nobody pushing him. You know, I think Peter Mrazek too, all the talk of when the Maple Leafs signed him, that he's a guy that has played in these tandem scenarios and has thrived in it. So it's already getting off to a good start. Jack Campbell, I mean, I think he was outstanding last night, a big reason why the Maple Leafs won. And that's what you wanted to see. That's what you needed to see with a team playing without Matthews and so much of, you know, last year's history still on their mind. I mean, if it wasn't for him in the first 10 minutes of the game, we might be sitting here today talking about a different story about the Maple Leafs. But I really like Jack Campbell. He's a guy that I'm cheering for because of his story and because of his competitive nature towards the game. And I honestly believe he's capable of doing it. But to think he's capable of playing 50, 60 games after never even playing 40-plus games as a goalie in his career, that's a tough mark to put on or tough expectation to put on a goalie right away. So I think the formula that they've created in net has a great chance for success. And I think the best part about it, too, is normally back-to-back games, you're throwing the backup in there and you're saying, all right, well, we hope to win this game. Mrazek gives you a chance to win those games right now, you know, every time you're putting a guy in there. So that's another great thing that the Maple Leafs boast right now.
So, Carlo, Leafs in Ottawa tonight, obviously. A lot of relief in that city with the signing of Brady Tkachuk to this 7-year deal at $8.2 million per annum. A lot of people might say, hey, that's a lot of money to pay for a guy who's never had more than 22 goals and 45 points in a season. But we know why they're giving it to him. He's a heart and soul guy. I think he's led the NHL in hits the past two seasons combined. He's led the NHL in penalties drawn. Now, you're a guy, Carlo, that you tutor young players, and I'm always wondering, like, why are there so few young players that know how to be that kind of pain in the butt that Brady Tkachuk is? Like, why doesn't somebody start, like, a Carlo Koliakovo pain in the butt academy? Because you can get paid being a pain in the butt because there's so few guys that can actually be that guy.
Yeah, it's a breed that's definitely, non-existent in the NHL, and I think the reason why he plays like that is because of who his father is. And, you know, you look at his brother, too, Matthew, in Calgary. These guys are a rare breed, that power forward type. And I think the reason why we don't see it as much is because, you know, even as a skills coach myself, when, you know, I'm training these young kids, you're teaching skill. Nobody really teaches compete or that, you know, that sandpaper that these Tkachuk players play with. And,
yeah,
you know,
how to draw penalties.
Or how to draw penalties. Yeah. Yeah, the Leafs could use a guy that could draw penalties considering how potent they want their power play to be. But look, even, you know, just the way they draft and develop players nowadays. I mean, gone are the days of drafting the 6'4", you know, tall, strong defensemen. Everybody wants small, mobile, skilled guys that can move the puck. And you can say the same thing about forwards. And when you find those guys, you got to do everything you can to keep them because it's hard. One, it's hard to find them. And two, when you have them, it's even harder to replace them. So I actually like this Tkachuk deal, and I hate the narrative around, oh, he makes too much money. You know, that's what hockey has turned into. And it's such a shame because we're missing out on the true, you know, the true skill of the sport, where every time somebody signs a contract, we're always saying, oh, he makes way too much about the cap. What other sport do we talk about how much money guys make and compare it to their actual performance on the ice? And I feel like that's a place where hockey is trending, and a lot of it is because of, you know, the hard cap that we're talking about nowadays, and even the cap that didn't move at all, the flat cap in this past season. But I think when you talk about the Tkachuk deal, it's a good deal for both sides because I think both sides got what they wanted. You know, Tkachuk wanted the money, and the Ottawa Senators got the term on the deal. And I think, you know, part of a good negotiation with young players too is, aside from paying them what they're worth, it's selling them to stay in a scenario of where you're trying to rebuild and get them to believe in what you're doing. And for Ottawa, I mean, everything they've been through prior to Brady Tkachuk has been there. It's been a tough sell. So, you know, to get him to sell on 7 years, to commit to that rebuild and the process continue to move forward, according to Pierre Dorion, the rebuild is over. This is a big year for Ottawa to take that next step, and it was more important to have a guy like Brady Tkachuk as part of the fold than watching.
With Carlo Quagliacomo, you hear him Monday through Friday on First Up, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on TSN Radio. Leafs in Ottawa tonight. Forget the contracts, just new surroundings. I'm sure it was really relieving last night for Zach Hyman to score, get on the board quick, Oliver Ekman-Larsson to score, right? Like, those are two big pieces. Those are the primary pieces brought in for both teams.
Man, Hyman got some big praise for that empty
for
netter
tap
boy.
In. For a tap-in.
I do understand. You got to be in position. You got to open up. But that thing was broken down to death about how good he was at putting that empty netter in.
Oh, yeah. But it's not how. It's how many, right? He's on the board.
Dude, he's got to get that, though, Hayes, because if he's just floating around there with RNH and Yamamoto on the second line, that's a big difference than not getting any love with the big boys on the PP.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was sort of nervous. I wouldn't say nervous, but I was curious to see how that was going to play out for that Edmonton game. Because as I was getting ready to watch it last night, I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching the way the lines are. And they had Draisaitl with McDavid and Puljujarvi. Then they had Hyman with RNH and Yamamoto. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I thought Hyman was promised he was going to play with McDavid and Draisaitl to sign
not.
There.
Promise. Right? Come on. Johnny Tavares was promised Marner, too.
Well, I get the message always changes when they start the season. But, you know, hey, I don't think his spot on the power play has changed. And clearly he took advantage of it yesterday. And, man, you talk about, you know, a position that you could definitely sign up for. I know I'll raise my hand. O will probably raise his hand. Hayes, I know you'll raise your hand, too. You know, to play that spot on the power play, knowing that these guys are going to tic-tac-toe it across the seam on the power play for you to get backdoor tap-ins, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's happy that went in, and he's probably going to get a lot more of those.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I think he's banking on it, is he not? Like, if McDavid and Draisaitl are dancing and Puljujarvi, like, there's some high-end talent there, and Hyman's not going to be the guy controlling the puck. That's not what he's there to do. He didn't do it in Toronto. He won't do it there. You know, he'll start a cycle, then he's going to the front of the net. And he can tap in 20 or 25 doing that year in, year out.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, he's got to be feeling a lot of relief getting the first goal, Ekman-Larsson. And then you look at what happened in Washington last night where Alex Ovechkin was a game-time decision.
Yeah.
No one knew if he was going to play. And not only does he play, he scores two and has two assists. This guy starts every season like he's 25 years old. It's shocking. Like every year, it seems like he scores a couple every like opening night and sets the pace for what he's going to do.
The monster.
And he's just a monster. And he passed Dion last night. He's fifth all time in goals. He's going to move up and up the chart. By the end of the year, he'll have passed Hall and Jágr because he's going to get 35 more goals, I think, this season if he stays healthy.
Easy.
So, yeah, by the end of the year, he's going to be behind only Gretzky and Gordie Howe. And it's nights like last night where not that we needed, you know, to realize this again, but he is an absolute machine. Absolute machine.
I'd love to see what's in his pregame drinks because clearly this guy is made for the big stage. He loves raising his game to another level. You saw the energy in that building. I mean, the hype before the game was Rangers, Washington, the rematch of the Retribution. And, you know, for Ovi, he's had to listen all offseason about other guys in the league that are going to win the Rocket Richard Trophy. It's like he's just been the forgotten one when clearly he's been the guy winning it up until last year, almost every year. So you can almost think that this year he's playing with an extra chip on his shoulder and being extra motivated to say, hey, guys, remember me. Make sure we don't forget that I'm the best goal scorer to ever play this game in this generation, and I'm going to go out and show you, and I'm going to do my best to win the Rocket Richard Trophy this year. Now, he's without Backstrom, and that'll probably hurt his production for the first couple months while he's out, but if last night is any example of that, he's not in any shape of slowing down right now. If anything, he's hungry. He's absolutely hungry.
No, he looks good. And the Rangers, they were supposed to be the team with the response, right? They were supposed to be so angry from what happened last year.
Quick question about Ovi Hayes. Do you think does him or Sid get the Mario treatment where when they retire, they go right into the Hall?
I think they deserve it.
I do too.
I think they deserve it. I think because it happened with Gretzky, right? It happened with Lemieux. I think they deserve it. I think they have been the faces of this league for 15 years and the clear-cut best players of the generation.
Yeah, I think they both deserve it. You're right. Yeah.
100%. I mean, both have won a Stanley Cup. I mean, Crosby has multiples. But if Ovechkin finishes his career and he's beaten Gretzky's record.
Dude, he should be, just even right now, if he stopped right now, he still deserves
right
to go right in.
100%.
I guess 100%. The argument would be like, you know, Lidstrom didn't get it. Hasek and Brodeur didn't get it.
Waugh
didn't get it. You know, Yzerman didn't get it. Like, there's been Messier didn't get it. So I don't know. I mean, it's difficult to say. Like, Gretzky and Lemieux were bigger than life. And yet, so like, these guys, I can't compare it to the 80s, but in terms of being the kings of the league, they have held those crowns collectively, Crosby and Ovechkin, for 15 years. Like, McDavid's better than them now in terms of what he can bring on the ice. But he's not a bigger figure than the two of them. Like, they're still the man, you know, when it comes to representing the league and being up on the marquee. Like, it's a pretty incredible run.
Yeah, and I think the rivalry, too, between those two, considering they play each other in the same division and you get six matchups with those guys year after year, you know, just increases that rivalry and that hate between the two of them. And whether or not it's still hate, who knows, but you know, and you'd also have to look at, too, like, over the last 10 years, are there guys that have left the league that you would consider automatic Hall of Famers? I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but it's tough to think any bigger names than Crosby and Ovechkin.
No, but, I mean, again, over the last – since Lemieux retired, there have been guys that we knew were locks, right? Like, Waugh, Brodeur, Hasek were locks. Lidstrom was a lock. Yzerman, Sakic was a lock.
Did Iginla get in right away?
He had to wait 3 years, but he got in.
I'm talking Mario treatment where it's like
you're retired and here's your
walking
in.
Like, we're going to the Hall of Fame tomorrow night and we're putting you in
right
there. That's what
the
Mario
whistle
got.
Blows on the last game of the season. You take off your skates, you jump on a flight to the Hockey Hall of Fame
in
and
your
you
gear.
Skates.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. You can't compare to either of these guys to Mario and Gretzky, though. Like, they're really transcendent players. They've been the faces of their generation, for sure. And they've had these incredible parallel careers where they've been rivals and maybe hated rivals at times. But they're not Lemieux and Gretzky, except, I guess, you know, Ovi can make the case that he's transcended in one skill, right, which is the most fundamental skill in the game, which is putting the puck in the net, right? And so I think Ovi's got the better argument in a lot of ways if he beats the record. if he gets past Howe and Gretzky, I mean, how can you not?
That might be the better way of phrasing it, is hypothetically speaking, if you could only pick one guy to get the Gretzky-Lemieux treatment, who should it be, Sid or Ovi? And
that's a spicy meatball for Sid fans, because they're going to be
it
like...
Is. Well, because I think Sid has collectively been the better player, the better all-around player, the better winner, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Ovi's got one cup, and Sid's got three. He's been to multiple cup finals. He's got gold medals. But this is where we also lose sight of the Hockey Hall of Fame is not the NHL's Hall of Fame. It's not the Canadian Hall of Fame. It's supposed to be a worldwide event where it takes into account every walk of life and the importance of hockey around the world. From that standpoint, I think that would actually bolster Ovechkin's case because he's the clear-cut greatest Russian player of all time,
mm-hmm.
where Sid is not and never will be. Not his fault, but he can't. He's not passing Gretzky.
No.
Right? He's not going to pass the war. He's not going to pass Mario, I don't think.
No.
Ovechkin, a mess, like I know there's been some great Russian players. I don't think it's disputable today, let alone in 5 years, who the greatest Russian player of all time is.
No.
It is Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, and even if he's three on the goal-scoring list and only two guys ahead of him, Howe and Gretzky, take your gear off, Private Bird, into the hall.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
Yeah. It's a room with plaques in it, but still, get him up there and get him in.
The room with plaques in it.
Yes.
So, Hayes, you mentioned greatest Russian player of all time. Do you think Kucherov or Vasilevsky would ever enter that conversation?
I don't see them catching Ovi.
Ovechkin?
No. I think Ovi's clear-cut, and I honestly, like, who are the greatest Russians of all time? There's been so many great ones, but Fedorov, Bure, McGilney, you know, Datsyuk.
That's the short list.
Yeah, yeah, Malkin. Yeah. Let's be honest. Gino might be number two all the time after Ovechkin, but I think it's Ovi, clear cut. Like, I can't speak to the 72 team and, you know, the Red Army teams of the day, but I think Ovechkin, I don't see Kucherov or Vasilevsky even getting close, Carlo. Like, we're talking a guy that might catch Gretzky in goals.
Oh, no. Hey, I get it.
Crazy
man.
What Ovechkin's
done. I'm with you. It's just, you know, what we've seen in Kucherov the last 2 years. You know, with the winning the Hart Trophy, back-to-back Stanley Cups, and how dominant Vasilevsky has been at basically, you know, the goalie position where there's been him and nobody else has been able to touch him over the last 2 years. If that continues to be the trend, how much closer do those guys get to that conversation?
Oh,
but
I'm
with you.
I don't see it.
It's Ovi all the way for me.
Yeah, like this guy, when he stepped into the league, man, like that, he and Sid went back and forth for that Calder Trophy in 2006. And he had, what do you have, 55 as a rookie? Like,
incredible.
He's been scoring 50-plus since he stepped into the league. His greatest goal of his career was as a rookie. Remember when he was on his back and he...
When the goaltenders started mastering the position.
Yeah.
That's the scary thing.
In a low
scoring
era.
For real.
Yeah, in a dead puck era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Charles Barkley stepping in front of an Ovi slap shot?
No, I don't see that happening. I loved Barkley with his red shoes last night. It was such a solid look. And anyway, we'll see what Ovi's got in store the rest of the way in the Leafs are in Ottawa tonight. So enjoy the games, as always, buddy, and we'll catch you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
You got it, boys. Have a good one.
There's Carlo Koliakovo of First Up. You hear him and Aaron Korolnik every morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on TSN Radio. And Carlo joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more on MapleToyota.com. I'm on the clock with the Thursday Nighter. We'll bring Al's brother in. We'll make the pick. Start looking ahead to Week 6. We got Game 5 of the NLDS tonight. Giants at home against the Dodgers up in San Fran. We've got hockey, football, baseball, it's a thing of beauty. And Canada's feeling good today in terms of soccer as well with what went down at BMO. We'll get into that just after 6 o'clock. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
La troisième étoile du match ce soir, the third star, le frère d'Al.
Yeah, Al's brother of Leafs Lunch fame. And cameos on Overdrive, but look at you, you're in your bunker again because I guess Dave and Oh, we're in studio. Is that what's going on?
I got kicked out of one of the chairs over there, so I had
Why didn't you come back in
and
make it a full table? Is that too much for Joe from the bridge, who's been sleeping back there today to begin with? He couldn't handle that today, or what?
I think we just thought we'd play it safe and just put me in here, have you guys out there.
Well, I was worried if you rolled into the studio, I might have to separate you two, Al's brother.
Yeah.
How is the resentment simmering?
Well, luckily, we don't have to make the pick today, so there won't be any friction here, and it's all on Hayes today.
Dude,
but
don't even start. You pulled one out of your ass, and like one, and I didn't agree with it, and then all of a sudden you're this genius that I'm not going along
with. That's right. That's right.
That's precisely what he's telling me.
Do you know how many times I've had to nod my head to your selections because I have faith in you being the football guy for me, and it's not worked out? I've been mad a couple times, but generally I just
don't see it happening. I didn't see the Baltimore Ravens covering that game. That's what happened. But, hey, agua under the bridge.
Well, agua under the bridge, and I've noticed on Leafs Lunch you're trying to drag Julie into the dark side of degenerate gambling. So I heard you guys today, and you're on the over, William Nylander, 3.5 shots. And I think Julie was on board with that as well. So good to see you guys are being degenerates at noon as well. I mean, it's spreading.
It is. Well, now with legalized betting, I think it's going to end up really ramping up within the sports scene. And, I mean, you saw Nylander out there last night, driving play, major factor in the game.
Yeah.
I think we'll have the exact same thing tonight. So he had, what, 5 shots last night? I think 4 shots is certainly something I could see happening. So over 3.5, you're getting plus money on it. That's my favorite prop of the night for the Maple Leafs.
I like it. He was very good last night. Kasha was really good last night. We haven't talked about him. He's got potential to be a guy, middle-of-the-road guy. Not going to, you know, drag them anywhere individually, but depth piece that I think can fit in. And
never staying here, but he can be one of those guys that's here to get his career back on track and be very good.
This can be an example of when you're up against it, you've got to get creative, Dubas and company. If you're up against the cap, you got to find guys, a reclamation project. You're hoping this is your Marcus Semien or Robbie Ray.
They got three of them up front.
Yep. In Bunting, you've got Richie. Yep. Camp. You know, playing a different style, clearly, in terms of what is going to be asked of him. But, yeah, I think so, for sure. As for the Thursday night or tonight, the pick is in, and the Thursday night NFL pick is brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. It's Eagles getting 7. Eagles plus 7 tonight against the Bucks. I'm on the dogs tonight. I'm on Philly tonight. I will take the points.
What a loser. I love the dog tonight. We love that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We're back on Tampa,
and you're not
Tom?
Changing your pick.
No, I have no interest in changing my pick. Listen, a couple things. You're dealing with injuries on Tampa's side of things. Philly has been a Jekyll and Hyde team. I'll grant you that. I'm banking on Jekyll, I guess it is, as opposed to Hyde tonight. It's a positivity.
Dude, I am going to mail in the Leaf game for my panel work just to watch the Eagles get crushed.
No, yeah, I'm banking on it. I love the Eagles plus money tonight at home on a short week.
Don't see it happening.
I know you don't, Al's brother. I can't even tell if it's live or not. I think that's just Mullen playing the clip. But go ahead, Al's brother. Respond to that pick because you're so happy, apparently, which makes me even more confident.
Then I want to hear from Dave, who's got no skin in this game.
He's just an independent contractor.
He doesn't care either way. I want to hear his thoughts. Al's brother, go ahead first.
Well, look, I think the Jekyll and Hyde thing does scare me if I am a Philly backer. Like, that offense has been extremely inconsistent outside of a win against the Falcons, and they played all right against the Chiefs, but both of those are horrid defenses. Not that
the Bucs aren't great either.
Not that they have a great defense, but I also look at the Tampa offense, which is averaging 33 points a game, and Philly's defense has crumbled against elite offenses this season, and now you're relying on Jalen Hurts to keep up with Tom Brady. I understand there's injuries to the Bucs, and I just don't see it happening.
It's every week with you, Al's brother. Go ahead. You're a man of integrity, Fastrack. Your answer on this.
Look, I think what you've got to hope for tonight, Hayes, is that Tom Brady's right hand, which has been heavily wrapped this week, very conspicuously, that it's a major problem. Because if it's not, Hayes, I'm not sure how the Philadelphia Eagles are going to stay in this game.
No, like, I'm not. It's a 7-point spread.
Yeah.
Like, it's. I'm not asking for a backdoor cover up by a point or 2 points. I'm getting 7 at home, like, on a short week.
Yeah, but the Bucs are looking like a super team that's playing better than it was.
They didn't 2 weeks ago.
Well, 2 weeks ago, no, but a week ago, yes, when they just rinsed Miami.
Whooped
and
them.
they are just starting to kind of find that gear. They've got the most potent offense you can imagine. Now, you know, the Eagles' defense is no joke, but that's going to be a massive test for the Eagles.
And it's ridiculous.
I can't see them staying within 2 touchdowns. I really can't.
Oh, I think that's outrageous. I love that you three are all seeing this the same way.
So do I. I do. I really, really
does
love
that make
it.
You feel confident? You got, look at you, clowns to the left, you jokers to the right.
No.
And here's the old dog with a loser right in the middle. That's what it is. I love that I'm alone on this.
Whoa.
There's
that comment?
What, like, is that all about?
You're the one that we'll talk tomorrow. Clip that pick, just like the one that says, I don't see it happening, calling
right.
me a loser.
You're picking, or you have a loser in the middle, in the Bucks, is
okay.
the point. Not calling you a loser. Because I was trying to finish off the song, but I couldn't. You know, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with a loser, the Bucks. That's what you are. There's the clip.
Oh,
play
now
that
they're going to lose?
Tomorrow.
Now
that
not only
nah.
are they well, going to cover,
I'd sprinkle
going
on the money
to
line tonight. I would sprinkle on the money
no,
line.
No, really?
Sprinkling on the money line on the Eagles.
Ooh, that's a spicy take there. Here's the trend line that worries me for the Eagles, which is what makes me happy to be on the Bucks train tonight. They are 6-19 against the spread. Their last 25 going up against a team who is scoring 23.5 points per game or more. That's what the Bucks are. They've scored 33 points per game, which is why I just don't see Jalen Hurts in this offense keeping up with Brady and company. I know the right hand, okay, that could become a factor, but give the ball off to Leonard Fournette. Let him smash this team.
Hey.
Teams have had success running against the Eagles. Look at what they
Leonard
did on Monday
Fournette
Night Football.
Fournette is not a guy
You're
who wants
fraud.
To run in between the tackles that much. This isn't Derrick Henry we're talking about. He's not going to dictate the pace of the game. That's
I'm not saying
the
he's going to beat Derrick
is.
Henry, but I think he could still run the football, get himself 80, 90 yards. Maybe they get some other
That's
guys
fine.
Inside, you know, get
Chew
some other
clock.
Guys in the mix.
Chew the clock hey. Up, backdoor cover.
You know, when Brady's hand's a little gimpy, having a little tough time gripping the ball, we know he's got a guy for that.
That he does.
With a
yeah,
pin.
He does.
Carlo.
With
he's
a pin
Carlo.
In a room.
He's got a deflator that's Carlo's
right.
cousin somehow.
That's right.
Carl, I'll bet you that Carlo, I should ask Carlo his pick, because you know he's got some sort of insight that nobody else does.
Carlo will text me his pick, and I'll relay it to you.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Me against the world, evidently, tonight. You know, I'm looking at that number, man, with the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Short week, Brady banged up. Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. Give me the Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
Give it to me, Moles. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we have it in the tank from a couple of weeks ago. Is that what you're talking
take
about?
Take your douche. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. You don't flush it and move on.
That's what he's going to be
man.
Saying tomorrow. He's going to have to flush
man.
Tonight's
yeah.
performance,
yeah.
and they're going to have to
after tomorrow,
move on.
Malls, he's going to be saying this.
You take your douche. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on.
You
don't flush it and move on.
It's just simply a wise man. It's a man that won't allow for that to happen again. You know, he's moved on. So the pick is in. I'm on the Eagles tonight. I'm 15-11 on the season. I'm way up in the bank. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about things, and I'm riding with the dogs tonight. Fly, Eagle, fly. This week's Thursday night NFL pick was brought to you by BookSeats.com. Custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. All right. Well, brother, I guess we'll next time we hear from you will be tomorrow at noon, coming off another Leaf game.
Yeah.
Right? Leafs lunch. You and Julia making things happen, as always. So we'll catch you tomorrow at noon, and good luck to your Bucks tonight, you and Tom Brady.
Thanks. There Not going to need it, but it's appreciated.
All right. There you go. And, oh, you're off to do some panel work tonight, and you'll be tracking the football game
I'll
and the
hockey game.
I'll be texting
you a lot. A lot.
Yeah. I'll hear from you, I'm sure, on the road. You give me a call tonight. Because I'll give you updates, man. I'm feeling real good about the Eagles.
Okay.
Real good about the Eagles
money
tonight.
Money line, this guy.
A little sprinkle on the money line. Now, I'm not putting a mortgage payment down, but a little sprinkle. All we'll
right.
see what happens.
All right.
All right, O. Al's brother. Team Al Dog. Best of luck tonight. Dave, you and I, we keep rolling. Kevin Kilban will join us, our TSN soccer analyst and a longtime international footballer with Ireland. He'll join us in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Look back on that Big win by Canada last night down at BMO Field. And Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Leafs in action tonight. Game 5 of the NLDS. You got the Thursday nighter. Dave Festruck's in here from the Toronto Star. The NBA season right around the corner. This Kyrie Irving story just continues to pick up steam, man. Him on Instagram last night. And tens of thousands of people viewing it, if not more than that. You know, everyone knows what he said, where he stands in terms of vaccines and him not willing to do it at this point. And the Nets, they're cutting ties with him until he's willing to get vaccinated. But I also wonder if, at this point, even if he does, if as an organization, they're just going to move on anyway. You know, like,
well,
it's
how
been
can
reported.
You move on, though, Hayes?
No, you're stuck with him until the contract's up, but they're not going to give him a long-term deal after this, is my point.
Right.
You know, if he gets vaccinated, he comes back and plays, he'll play it out. But I don't see him there in 5 years.
No.
You know, I don't see that happening in Brooklyn. I think they're probably ready to move on. It sounds like Kevin Durant is willing to move on, and he was really the lifesaver for Kyrie. He was his main guy in terms of pushing for him to be there and supporting what he represented.
Yeah, well, you know, when you speak to people who knew him in Boston, you know, there's not a lot of tears cried that Kyrie Irving is no longer a Celtic, right? He's a guy who tends to grate on people and wear out his welcome. As talented as he is, as undeniably great a player as he is, and he's a phenom. There's no doubt about it. I've never seen anybody finish, you know, driving through the lane like Kyrie Irving finishes driving through the lane as a small guard. It's miraculous sometimes the things he can do on a basketball court, but this is the opposite of miraculous. Like, the idea that he is this steadfast on this principled take is one thing, but, you know, for him to say what he said last night on Instagram, Hayes, you know, to me, it didn't hold a lot of water. This idea that, you know, he didn't know this was going to be a problem, this idea that he was blindsided by the idea he was going to need to be vaccinated, I think is a bit disingenuous. If you were watching the way the wind was blowing in states like New York and California, where they were clearly going to have mandates for vaccinations for an awfully long time coming.
I think maybe what he meant by that was he thought the Brooklyn Nets would support him more.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, you can't control the government, but if you're a power broker within the organization, you might be able to, you know, have some say in that. And it obviously the Nets made the decision they made. They're like, we're done. Like, we're moving on.
And how could they not, right? Like, how could you? How can you
have a part-time player?
You can't have a part-time player in pro sports making that kind of money in a season with the stakes as high as they are, where they're clearly, you know, the favorites to win the East, if not, you know, the co-favorites with defending champion Milwaukee Bucks. And a lot of people believe that, you know, assuming the Lakers are not going to be healthy because, you know, they're a group of older guys.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to believe they're going to be able to get to the finish line. Ariza's already hurt. You know, it's hard to believe the Lakers and LeBron and Davis are going to be able to get to the finish line in one piece, let alone cross it. You know, assuming the Lakers are going to have the health problems you figure they will, then the Nets are probably the favorites to win the championship if Irving is playing. Without him, it's a different story. But there was just no way for the Nets to win by letting this guy only play 60% of the games at most.
No, exactly. And without any certainty of where it's going to go in the future in terms of what other states could end up mandating, what they might mandate, or who you might play in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, like, what if you play the Knicks in the playoffs? You can't play.
Right.
So if it's still part of the protocol 6-7 months down the road, and I guess that is subject to change, and maybe that's what his plan is going to be here.
Yes.
He's going to wait it out until the protocols drop, which I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they'll be here forever. You know, I can't speak to what's going to happen on the government level of, you know, New York or the states in general, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be the same process for the rest of time. But, you know, we hear this phrase all the time, freedom of choice, not freedom of consequence. That's exactly what this is.
Yep.
Like, he does have the choice. You know, it is his body. It's not constitutionally binding that you have to do it.
No.
But if you want to be a part of this team, this private business, then this is what comes with the territory. He's
right.
Decided not to do it, so you got to pay a price.
Yeah.
Price is not getting paid and he can't play.
Exactly.
Very simple. It's very cut and dry.
Right. And we saw the limits of principle takes with Andrew Wiggins, right? Who basically, you know, to his credit, came out and said, you know, I don't want to take the vaccine. I have some, you know, objections to taking the vaccine. He cited a religious objection that he had to taking the vaccine, but he said essentially that the money overrode it because he's trying to build generational wealth and he's not going to sacrifice a year's salary on a principle and on a religious principle for that matter. And you can respect that. Like he was, I thought Andrew Wiggins' take was, you know, incredibly refreshing because he didn't couch it. You know, we all know in a lot of ways, almost everything's about the money in pro sports. Hey, it's almost always about the money at all times, right? And, you know, and when it's not, it's a very special circumstance. And, you know, that's why I believe I'm with you. Like Kyrie Irving's going to get vaccinated and play.
I think he will at some point. Yeah. I would. And then again, this whole delay process is in the end just be, it's going to become futile. You know, it's just really a waste of time in the end. If you're committed to your convictions here and your principles and you're simply not ever going to change, I suppose I'll credit you for that. You know, I'll credit you for holding a stance. It's not one that I agree with at all, but if he has it, he's going to stick with it. But if it is going to waver in 2 weeks or a month, then what it's going to be looked back upon as is just him looking for the spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, him being the guy who's got to be different from everyone else.
Which is what he is.
Which is generally what he's been throughout his career. So from that standpoint, it probably would just be consistent and maybe predictable in the end. Hour 3 coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.